your Bible to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Amen. And why don't we stand? We'll be reading out of a King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, please don't try to read out loud, okay? Just follow us along. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and we'll go through verse 10, okay? Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
For by it the elders obtained a good report.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God.
But without faith possible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him.
By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his home, his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place
by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Let's pray. Father, we just read your word. It's beautiful.
Amen.
It's true. And Lord, it's a blessing. I do pray that you'll give me a freedom and ease to speak your word today that will bring honor and glory to your name. And I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will use your word in the hearts of each of us.
Amen.
Forgive us where we failed you. Draw near to us today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. I'm going to start at verse 6. I'm just going to pick out two or three. This is the roll call of faith. These are the great heroes of the faith.
Amen.
Great things were done by these men because they believed in God.
Amen.
And faith is the only way you're going to get anything from
Amen.
God. If you want to be in contact with God, you've got to believe. And by the way, that's our only hope.
Amen.
You know, what you can do and what I can do is not much. I don't care how many self-help books you've read.
Amen.
There's just a whole lot you can't do that God can. God can. God is all-powerful. I was talking to someone this morning and I was thinking, in all my life, atheism never had a hold. Evolution as a first cause of creating the earth, I laughed at it when I was in school. I was a kid. I was a sinner. But I've never, never entertained the thought there is no God. Because everything around me declares there's got to be somebody
Amen.
With a lot more brains than anybody I ever met.
Amen.
I never met anybody close to that brain power. And as you're talking about how we're made up, our DNA, they've discovered that recently. And oh, they're thrilled with it. How evolution could have brought that about? That's the stupidest argument I think I've ever heard. It takes a lot more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a believer.
Amen.
In fact, I only have to believe the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. Everything else makes sense. That's all you got to get. You get God in your mind by faith. You know there is a God and God created you and everything around you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And you got a lock on some truth. I really do. Well, look, if you will, at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Very interesting thing. Most people think it's your works that pleases God. Good little boys go to heaven, bad little boys go to hell. That's not true. Just not true. It says without faith, you can't please him. Without faith, you can't please him. What is that faith? You believe that he is. Well, all creation testifies that he is.
Amen.
Everything about us. Take the smartest people. I think it was Will Rogers said, everybody's ignorant just depends on the subject.
Amen.
Now, isn't that the truth?
Amen.
Everybody's ignorant just depends on the subject. You may know everything about chess and somebody just whipped the daylights out of you in checkers. By faith, we reach God. By faith, we accomplish things.
Amen.
David had killed a lion, and he killed a bear. I think he killed him with his sling. And then he took his knife and bearded him and whatever. I think David was so good with that sling because he was bored with those sheep. All he did was all day long throw at cactus. And he got very good. You know, if you really do something like that all the time, well, you know he became a great musician and all the things that he did. Well, he had all this time. He's out there, man. Anybody could learn to play the lyre or the harp or the harmonica. Didn't have one, though. I'm sorry. He knew what he could do with a stone, and he knew this guy was defying God. What was David's faith? He's defying the living God, and I'm going in the name of the living God. That was faith, wasn't it? Faith is, as according to verse 6 here, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Now, that's a very simple explanation of faith. God is, and those that seek him, he'll reward. Bless your heart, that's how I got saved 56 years ago. Yeah, I believed he was. And I heard if you'd come to him and repent of your sins, he'd save you. He did. Wow, what a change. Praise God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sorry, I'm not speaking too well today. I want you to think a minute. On almost every day on your television, probably on the radio, probably in the newspaper, people are telling you to invest. Now, the truth is, most of us don't have enough money to invest. And no matter how much we invest, we'd never get enough there. If you're a rich man, that's a wonderful thing. You ought to invest. It makes sense to invest. I want to explain to you, if I can, simply, faith is investing in the promises of God. Faith is investing in the promises of God. And you know, I don't know whether gold or silver will crash or they'll go through the skies. I don't know whether your house, you know, I never bought a place that I didn't make more money on it when I sold it. But I've seen some poor people who, man, you can lose on land, you can lose on houses, you can lose on a lot of things that look like sure things. They got these real estate men telling you, come learn, take my class, and boy, you'll be a millionaire in 10 years. The trouble is, you don't have much that you can really count on. I knew a fellow that invested in silver one time. In fact, he had more silver than anybody else. And the United States government changed their law so they could get him. His name was Hunt. And they were rich, rich, rich people. One of the Hunt boys was losing over $150 million a year. And a reporter asked his daddy, said, what are you going to do about that? He said, well, in about 150 years, he'll be broke. That's how rich they were. But you got no guarantees on these things. But hey, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith. God wants you to know He is. God wants you to know if you seek Him, it'll bless you. It'll change your life.
Amen.
He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Thank
now,
Lord.
I'm going to just pick three. There's a tremendous group of people in here, and you ought to study every one of them out. Great, great chapter. Back when I taught school, I could make the kids in my English class memorize this. That's what I taught a long time ago, you understand. But that's the truth. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to talk about Noah. I'm talking about three absolutely unusual great men. Noah, he's a great man. I mean, everybody else in his generation on the face of the earth multiplied millions of people died. Here's the one survivor with eight people in his boat. Now, it took him about 120 years to build that boat. How did he get that message? You ever thought about that? These guys I'm talking about, I'm wondering how they got their message. Now, I don't know. Maybe God went down and gave him a dream one night. Maybe God had a burning bush for him to see. Kind of turn aside and say, what do you want, Lord? You know? Maybe he confronted him like Paul was confronted. I don't know. But here's the thing. He got the message. What was the message? God is going to destroy this world I live in by flood. There had been no floods on the face of the earth. I don't even think there was rain. Seems to me like there's a great dew as in this early time. Just a great dew that came up and watered everything every morning. And it just grew lushly. Not like our desert climate that we're having. I don't even think they'd ever seen rain. They didn't know what it was. But here's a man that begins to build a boat. A boat? In the middle of the desert, you're going to build a boat? Now, I don't know. I imagine he was good with his hands. I'm assuming. He might have been a rich man. He might have been able to hire people. There might have been people that worked on that boat that didn't get in it. There probably were people that went up into the hills and got the trees and cut them down and dragged them to the place. And there might have been some that planed those things down. I had to work on the plumbing in my father's old farmhouse after my father was dead. And at the back, it was up almost 6 foot. It was a slope. And up to the front, the porch was right on the ground. And so I put a couple of bombs under there the day before I went under it to kill whatever bugs and snakes and whatever it could be. When I got under there, they had a hewn tree log, about a 6x6 or maybe 8x8. And it's balanced at the back on river rocks. Not cement, not cedar, a bigger rock, smaller rock, up to almost 5-6 feet, 5 foot anyway. And it's balanced all the way in. And by the way, it wasn't smoothed off with a plane. It was chopped off and it was rough. But that old house stood over 100 years. Somebody had to cut a bunch of logs for Noah to build his ark. Now, maybe Noah cut them and his boys cut them, or maybe he hired it done. Maybe he had other people coming and working with him. But can you imagine working those logs and getting them smooth enough where all you got to do is put some slime on them, some tar? He built a boat. It didn't need a rudder. It didn't need a motor. It didn't need a sail. It's just one great big barge. He heard God's message, and the Bible said he moved with fear.
Amen.
I've heard some people make fun of us, fire and brimstone preachers, old fundamentalists and whatever. They said, man, I got to scare people. I wish I could scare you.
Yeah.
I wish I could just scare you to where you tremble tonight when you went to bed. I wish I could. I know I can't. God's got to do that. But I can tell you the truth. Here's a man building a boat and putting it together to hold himself and his family and two of every unclean animal and seven of every unclean animal. Wow. You talk about a job. He had a job. He had to have a pretty good sized man. He had to have a pretty good brain. He had to have a whole lot of energy and work to be able to build this boat. Why was he building a boat? He was afraid. God told him he's going to destroy everything. God revealed to him somehow, you're not going to live unless you have a boat. Now build a boat. And you're going to take two or seven of every living thing along with your family. And you're going to live, and I'm going to start all over with you. I hear they're doing a lot of stuff on genealogy and looking people back up to see who is in their ancestry. Well, you got Noah. I know I'm related to Noah. He moved with fear. You ought to move with fear.
Amen.
I see these signs, and I mention it all the time. It's just the stupidest thing to me. No fear. On the back of some kid's pickup. He's driving down the road 90 miles an hour. No fear. Well, you're stupid. You haven't got enough brains to get in out of the rain. If you're not afraid of a rattlesnake, if you're not afraid of a 18-wheeler coming down at 70 miles an hour, you don't have good sense. No fear. Fear is one of the best things you can teach your kid. Fear fire.
Amen.
Every generation has got to learn for itself that the stove is hot. I've heard that. Isn't it the truth? Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Ow! He moved with fear. I don't know what moves you, but I think you ought to fear God.
Amen.
I think you ought to fear judgment.
Amen.
I think you ought to fear eternity away from God.
Amen.
I think you ought to come up and understand certain things I ought to fear.
Amen.
Now, one of the problems with many young people, and some people don't ever outgrow it, they can't see far. They cannot think consequences. My dad was continually trying to get my 17-year-old head to be like a 40-year-old head. It doesn't work. But the thing he would point out to me, put yourself in the averages, it's going to happen to you. You're not so special. Everything's not just going to go your way. Some of these times that bad luck and those bad crashes and that bad trouble and that bad sickness, it's going to hit you. You need to look down the road and say, I am going to die. Now I know some of you are young enough, you don't even think about that. I never thought I'd get as old as I am. I thought I'd been dead 16 years ago. But God won't let me be right. So as long as I keep thinking I'm going to die, I guess I'll keep living. Moved with fear? I moved with fear. I moved with fear because I believed there was a God. And I believed He was a righteous God.
Amen.
And I looked at myself, and I wasn't a righteous man.
Amen.
And when I looked at myself and I thought about that and I saw a friend of mine die, I had a year to be thinking about 20-year-olds can die. Yes, 20-year-olds can die. And I moved with fear one night. One night I got in that bedroom in Roswell, New Mexico. Praise the Lord. And I got on my knees and I asked God to forgive my sins and save my soul and
Amen.
Change my life. He did, and I surrendered to preaching. I've been
Amen.
Preaching 56 years today.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I moved with fear. Now, I heard some of you move because of the love of God. That's great. Some of you just come to a reasoning, made some choices. That's great, too. I don't care how you get there. Get to God.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know what your motivating factor is, but Noah moved like I did. He moved with fear. He moved. You notice that word? He moved. He did something. I know there are a lot of Christians today, they think all they got to do is just sit in the aisle, sit in the chair, listen, never do anything. No, 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 you need to move towards God.
Amen.
You need to get on, out of your chair, get on your knees, start calling out to that God that's invisible, who's so much smarter than all of the brains in the world today. You need to move with fear. Because let me tell you something. There is a God.
Amen.
He is a righteous God.
Amen.
And He's going to have a judgment.
Amen.
And He's going to judge whether or not you belong to Jesus Christ or not.
Amen.
Oh yeah, there are a lot of things about the way you live. You ought to live your life like a testimony for Christ.
Amen.
Yes, you should.
Amen.
But you don't. You can not drink, not smoke, not gamble, not cheat on your wife and go to hell.
Right.
Because you can't pay your debt.
Amen.
You can't pay your way. There's only one way, and that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And then He went into death, hell, and the grave and came out of it victorious.
Amen.
And been victorious ever since. He's the victor. He's the hero. He's the winner. He's
Amen.
God. You need to move with fear. Get on your face and confess your sins. I'm amazed at the number of people I can speak to who have no sins. Isn't that amazing?
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
One of my friends, Peter Ruckman, one time was talking about he was in a jail and everybody he met was innocent. He started talking to people and they were innocent. A big old black guy came up and he said, "Are you a sinner?" He said, "Yeah, I am. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I killed her." And Ruckman says, "Praise God." He says, "What are you talking about, praise God? I killed her." He said, "I found a sinner. I found somebody my message will work with." Let me tell you what, you've got no hope if you can't see yourself as a sinner.
Amen.
If you don't see the disaster coming because of the life you've lived, my friend, you have no hope. You're just headed right down the road like a teenager on a motorcycle, not thinking about consequences. Just go ahead right up against that 18-wheeler. He moved with fear. And because he feared, he built a boat. Wow. That's one of the most tremendous things ever been done. Absolutely. This is an act of faith. I don't understand how God got to him. It must have been a direct thing somehow. The Bible doesn't exactly tell us. It just tells us he believed God, and when he believed God, he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house and condemned the rest of the world. I was talking to a man one time. He said he didn't believe in this Christianity. They're all hypocrites. And I asked him, I said, "Do you have just one person in your life that you think is a real Christian?" "Yeah, yeah." "Well, who is that?" "My uncle." "Why do you believe he's a real Christian?" "Well, he was drugs and dope and gang member and all that, and he got saved and he'd been preaching 50 years. I said, "You know what you did? You just did shut your argument all to pieces. You know one. If there's one, it's real. And that leaves you absolutely no excuse. You know one person who found God and changed, and you believe he's real with all your heart. He's not a hypocrite. then that means you can do the same thing. And if you don't do it, you're condemned.
Amen.
You're moved with fear. Look at the next verse. Here's another great man. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here's another one. I don't know, Abraham might have been fairly well off in Ur. It was a big city at the time. One of the major cities that he was living in. He might have been very well off. And God comes to him somehow, and I don't know, they don't tell us about any prophet. Somehow God, maybe it was a vision, maybe it was a dream, maybe there was somebody that come by and talked to him. I'm not sure, but God made himself impressed upon Abraham. And he told Abraham, leave. Leave your home, leave your land, leave your family, leave all your cousins, relatives and second cousins and third cousins and all the friends and all of... Leave! And the Bible said he did.
Amen.
And he went out not knowing where he was going. Do you know the trouble my little wife would give me if I said, let's go and we don't know where we're going? Try it sometime. Just pack your bag, because I don't know when we're going to be back. We ain't never coming back. What you can carry with you, put it in the car right now. We're leaving. Where are we going, Daddy? Where are we going? I don't know. We're just going. Well, that's Abraham. Now, here's a very important man in the Bible. Noah? Oh, yeah. Abraham? Wow. Great man of faith. Bible says if we're of faith, we're like Abraham. We're like his sons, like his children. This man set the example for us all. It says he moved. God said move, and he moved. Has God ever told you to do anything? Then you better do it. Well, that's what Abraham did. How do you get in this roll call of the faithful? God said move, and he moved. Now, he didn't move with fear. Like I said, I got saved moving by fear. Abraham wasn't that way. He didn't move with fear. You notice what it says? It says right there in verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He moved with a vision of a heavenly city. Abraham? I thought that was in the book of Revelation. No, Abraham saw it too. Abraham had a vision. He had a vision of a city built by God. Wow. You know what he moved for? He moved for a future city, a future hope, a future great thing. Have you ever thought about how great it's going to be? Probably won't be many tears at my funeral, but don't worry about it. Don't cry over me. You know what? I'm going to be in a fantastic city. I'm going to be saying, hello, Jesus, praise Lord, God Almighty. I made it, I'm here. I'm with you forever, I'm forgiven, I'm clean.
Amen.
No more tears, no more crying, no more pain. Former things are passed away, praise God. Wow. That's what Abraham saw. Abraham, by faith, believed God and moved. Because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for that city? Well, you ought to be. It might move you to some things.
Amen.
It might teach you to invest in a different place.
Amen.
It might teach you that maybe you ought to invest your money in God, in the Word of God, in the salvation of souls, in the spread of the gospel. Somehow. To put something where the rust won't get to it, and a thief can't break in and steal it. How about investing in the promises of God? Money, time, energy, prayer. Try investing there. That's what Abraham did. What a great man. What a great man. He makes some moves of faith in his life that we have recorded for us greatly that are just beyond imagination. don't understand the kind of faith that he had. Tremendous, tremendous thing. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You looking for that city? Well, Abraham was. Going down to verse 24. Another one of the great men is Moses. And I'm sorry, I just picked out three, but I don't even have time for them. By faith, Moses. You talk about a great man. This is a great man. He was born a slave, but his mother, by faith, set him afloat. And who did God have waiting for him? But the daughter of the Pharaoh. How about that? How about that? Send him out to die, and Pharaoh's daughter takes him in. Now, I've always been a poor boy. I've got more money now that all my kids are gone. But I've always been a poor boy. Always had to fix things up, buy things cheap, buy things broken, you know. But I always, that's what my daddy taught me how to do, fix things like that. He was a depression man. I was just born there. He lived through it. So he learned to fix things. Moses didn't have to do that. While his brothers and sisters are slaving out in the pits making bricks, he's in the daughter of Pharaoh's house, the richest place in town. Education? Great education. Trained as a warrior? Trained as a leader? He had it all. The Bible says he was mighty in word and deed. Think about that man. He's a great man just in this society that he lived in. He's a great man. No doubt he was spoiled rotten too. Me being a poor boy, I never could get for my kids what other people could. I probably would have if I'd have had the money. I just was too broke. You know, practical thing. He had everything. He had everything. I imagine he enjoyed the pleasures of sin. It was the way he lived. It was the way he was brought up. It was the opportunity he had, being the nephew of the Pharaoh, at least. Wow. Great man, mighty in word and deed. You know something? He chose, it says. He chose. At 40 years old. Now that's a man. I'm sorry, some of you that are in your 20s and 30s, you might not count. I've heard these people that talk about culture and whatever, that the 18 in the 30s and 40s is now 35. I don't know what that says. I hope you're smarter than that. But my dad was always trying to put a 40-year-old head in a 17-year-old body. Didn't work real well. But think about it. This man is 40 years old. He's got everything. For the rest of his life, he has power. He has money. He's got prestige. He's with the in group. He can do anything he wants to. He leads armies. And one day, he chose. He chose the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Egypt was the strongest country in the world, the richest country in the world, the most powerful army in the world. And he's in the leading family. And he comes to a place at 40 years old, he said, I'm going to turn my back on all this. I'm going to turn my back on my stepmother. I'm going to turn my back on Pharaoh the king. I'm going to turn my back on wealth. I'm going to turn my back on power. And he chose God. He chose God. He thought it out and he made a choice. Have you thought things through that clearly? Some of you today ought to make some choices. I never preach when I'm not interested in changing somebody's thinking. Now, I don't always do it. I understand that. But that's my purpose. Amen. You need to make some choices.
Amen.
You need to choose to turn down some things. Turn down some friends.
Amen.
Turn down some jobs. Turn down some money. Turn down some sin. And choose God. That's what you
Amen.
Need to do.
Amen.
That's what Moses did. That's what he did. Noah moved with fear. Abraham moved with a vision of a city of God. And Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. What does he say? If this Bible's right, my fellow, he didn't go through the Reed Sea. He went through the Red Sea on dry land. I personally believe it's right. By the way, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. How about that? What the Jews did, the Egyptians couldn't. The Jews lived, the Egyptians were drowned. One more verse, John chapter 5, verse 24. Very clear explanation, simple act of faith in salvation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that hath sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life.
Amen.
He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me. He that heareth my word. Long, long time ago, I decided the only thing I would preach is the Word. Not somebody's opinion. Not what Dr. Ludiger of Podunk University has to say. Not what the big preachers have to say. Not what the big denomination have to say. What does the Bible say?
Amen.
Just simple. He that believeth His Word. Do you believe His Word? Do you believe that book's true?
Amen.
I do. All my doctrine, I may be wrong in a lot of ways, I don't know. But all my doctrine I got from that book. I believe the book's right. I believe you're wrong, and I'm wrong, and everybody else that disagrees with it is wrong.
Amen.
Heareth my word. Believeth on Him that sent me. How about you believing in God and that Jesus Christ is who He said He was? The Savior of the world. The one mediator between God and men.
Amen.
Just one. I'm sorry, Mary doesn't apply. Your grandmother and grandfather don't apply.
Amen.
Your mother and father can't help you. I don't care if your brother's the Pope. You can pray to St. Paul and St. Peter. It won't help you. There's only one mediator between God and men. That's the man, Christ Jesus. That's the only name you can get saved in. That's the only name you can get sins forgiven in. That's the only name you can get a blessing from. Noah moved with fear. Some of you ought to move with fear. Abraham moved with a vision of the city of God. Some of you ought to take that vision and step out and move out. Moses took a look around, saw all his wealth and all his glory, and said, I'll go with the people of God. I'll make a choice. I can't do both. Some of you are thinking you can do both. You can't do both. You've got to make a choice. He made a choice. He turned his back on Pharaoh. He turned his back on Egypt. He turned his back on wealth. He turned his back on power. He turned his back on pleasure. And he chose suffering with the people of God. Some of you need to make a choice.
Yes. Amen.
You can make that choice today. You know what? This is my birthday. Now, I was late at night. I counted my birthday because it was somewhat in the morning, you know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning when I finished seeking God and knew I had something. September 1st. Started praying the last of August. Started praying in August, got saved in September. How about that? You need to make a choice. You need to make some choices. And that's every single one of us in this room. If you're here and not saved, oh, you don't know how dangerous a situation you're in. You ought to run to Christ. But Christian friend, there are a lot of choices you need to make. Let God have His way. Let's sing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." I think it's 235.